This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Ooh, they were lucky that wasn't turned over. Anthony Edwards, that time he does finish with the exclamation point.
Watanabe got his feelings hurt on this one. I mean, that is absolutely filthy.
All right, Adam, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Actually, a team with two All-Stars. Why the hell are they so bad?
What is up in that air in Minnesota? What are they doing? How can you have so much talent? How can you have all this stuff and then just be god-awful year in and year out?
Okay. It was just the kind of season for them where it never – there wasn't even like that faint hope at the start where it's like, oh, wow, they've won a few games in a row. Maybe they're turning around. You know how the Orlando Magic seem to always do that where they were like undefeated their first week and a half and then the wheels start to fall? Like Minnesota didn't even have that. So Ryan Saunders starts out as the head coach. He had been coaching for the last couple of years. He started out as an interim and then got the tag taken off of him. And just got off to just a bad start. D'Angelo Russell goes down with an injury. They did add Ricky Rubio and, in free agency. And then Anthony, or was it a trade that they got, how they got Ricky Rubio?
I believe that was a trade. That was the whole Chris Paul. We need to, all the moving pieces everywhere.
It's making sense. They get Anthony Edwards, number one in the draft. I did like Anthony Edwards. I thought that he looked nice.
Well, it started off as they had that big trade last year where they picked up Hernan Gomez and Malik Beasley, who they're like, okay, these are going to be cornerstones. We have the number one pick. There really is no number one player this year. Okay, we got we made that trade for D'Angelo Russell midseason. What's going to happen if these two guys who wanted to play together have a whole season under them? What you know, we have all this, we got recent Ryan Saunders because
that also
like flip.
That also includes Malik Beasley in the injury front. He was out for quite a while.
Well, he was out because he was arrested for it's either a gun charge or domestic assault or something. He was suspended from the league for a while.
He averaged 3.5 made threes per game, which is like, that's not Curry level, but it's not that far off. Like
solid. And that was the thing was, okay, you have Beasley who looks like you gave him that big contract. Why didn't he, why you drafted Edwards, who's the same type of guy we think? We don't know because Edwards played in Georgia and didn't really play to his full potential there.
Right.
So.
And the first month, in the first maybe like few weeks was a little bit sketchy with Edwards. Like you could see some athleticism, but
well,
he was like
the first
chucking
week
up a bunch of, he did have that amazing dunk against Yuta Watanabe, which was like probably the highlight dunk of the year.
Don't forget, Towns went out with COVID for like the second or third game in.
His mom died from COVID.
His mom died back in March, but the season started, all of a sudden he gets it and he's out. And then D'Angelo Russell gets injured. Like this team has just been decimated by injuries, but and then obviously nobody wanted to play for Saunders. And towards the end of the season, they did. I noticed they, under their new coach, which was a very strange hire.
Yeah, the thing that was weird about it was that there wasn't, I guess what you call a due process where like I don't think there's a Rooney rule in the NBA, but this was a scenario where, they have a new team president and he didn't hire Saunders. Saunders was already the coach when he got there. Once they got rid of Saunders, which was around February, early February, then they immediately hired Chris Finch. Like they didn't even consider like Caleb Canales, who had been an assistant there, I believe. Like they didn't even think about other guys. So
no,
it was like
there was it, no. It was just
so
we're
people.
Get this guy,
people kind of people thought it was kind of like sketchy. Like, oh, this was the guy they wanted all along, and they were just waiting for them to be bad so that they had an excuse to fire him and turn around and hire the guy that they wanted, but you were just alluding to, like, near the end of the season, they actually started to win a handful of games.
They looked like they wanted to play. You could see that the strategy had changed. They spaced out more. They tried more. The problem was they looked too spaced out. Like, so they opened up the whole half court. Like, well, you guys are way too far apart. But you could see things are changing. I think another thing that sort of doomed this team was the complete lack of development of Hernan Gomez. He had that, you know, in the trade, he had the, you know, those 12, 15 games where it looks like, hey, he can be a solid guy. Let's give him some money. And then just.
Yeah. So. There's a couple things that were positive and then negative in terms of their player development front. The positive thing was that even though it wasn't, I don't think it was intentional, the fact that they had a lot of money tied up because of Towns and Russell's contract, re-signing Malik Beasley, and he's up in the teens, you know, bringing in Ricky Rubio's deal. Like, they didn't really have a lot of room to make moves, and they weren't the type of team that was in a position to dump players. Like, they weren't in a rebuilding phase. So they didn't really do any moves at the trade deadline. So it kind of helped them develop their team because basically the whole team played together the entire season despite the injuries. So
despite the injuries, and that's the sort of the problem.
So that was a positive.
The positive and the negative. The positive is, looking forward, yes, you're probably giving your number one pick to Golden State as part of the D'Angelo Russell trade, in order to get rid of Wiggins. And the negative part of having everybody together is, you know, Josh Okogie. You like him, you don't like him.
I was about to mention this one.
He's playing 30 minutes because there's nobody. He's not a starter.
No, he averages. And he averaged five, like just over 5 points and under 3 rebounds a game. He's good defensively, but he's not like he's not Patrick Beverley. He's not one of those guys that can just change the defensive dynamic of a game.
But he's starting half the games,
right,
due to all the injuries. So one of those things you could say, like, you know what? We have a new coach. We use this last half of the season to get everybody together. Everybody's coming back.
The other worry is Jared Culver. He is not developed at all. I don't want to call him a bust yet, but he's about a year away. Like, he's got one more year to prove what he's worth.
No, he is out of the rotation of this new rotation. Everybody's getting injured, and he's still not playing. So he's just his fourth year. I almost guarantee won't be picked up because it's going to be, you know, at tops. He was the sixth pick, I believe. So he has to be in the $7 to $8 million range. And spending that much money on a player, you still might hope turn the corner. You're going to trade him for some other team's garbage. And that is just a great disappointment. But Minnesota, you know, we mentioned this is just the almost a constant of our Gone Fishing series of how bad Minnesota is and can they possibly get worse.
Right.
And we keep saying it's going to get better next year, right? It's going to get better next year, right? But this, I think, might be the first year we could sort of think it because everybody, their entire rotation is coming back.
Yeah, the only ones that are on the free agency market that I would assume will be gone are is Ed Davis. I think Jared Vanderbilt actually played well for them when he played, and he shot almost 60%. He's got a bright future. So as a restricted free agent, I could see him coming back. Jalen Noel will be back. Naz Reid actually played pretty well for them as sort of a fill-in big man. He actually started a number of games. So, like, along with Edwards, who they just drafted, Beasley is locked into a new deal. I can actually see Rubio either being dealt or just getting the, like, Blake Griffin / LaMarcus Aldridge treatment,
just
where it's
bought,
like,
out at the
yeah.
End.
Let's call it off and just and move on to something new, and then maybe they can draft a point guard in the draft.
Which
depending
mostly
on where
they don't have a first round pick, so it's just going to be you have no money to sign anybody of value. You have no,
and you don't have the attractiveness, even though you do have Towns and Russell, because Karl Anthony Towns, I mean, like 25 points, 10 rebounds, like 4.5 assists, a block, 2 threes, like, he is a fantasy god. If fantasy basketball was win loss standings, the Karl Anthony Towns would be like first place all the time. You know, he's that kind of a player.
He is, but the problem is, it's just, you know, we're waiting for him to, is he just good numbers on a bad team? Does he even know how to be on a good team? Do you know how to be? There's so many question marks surrounding him. You could say, oh yeah, he's a beast, but what happens if and when he does get moved? We moved your friend over. Russell hasn't been kind of anything. Yes,
he's been okay. Injured. He's had some clutch shots in the games that they have won. They've had the thing about the Wolves is that they had some shocking wins. Like they had some wins against teams that you would have never imagined them beating.
And that's the thing is like you could see the flashes of potential. It's just, well, can they ever? Is that, are they just doomed to have this, you know, Sacramento Kings, Minnesota, you know, old school Cleveland Browns, just futility? Or can this new, you know, new GM, new coach, new sort of mindset, can this, because, you know, they made their attempt with Jimmy Butler a few years ago and that backfired. Mm-hmm. And it backfired, but you weren't really that high to begin with. So you can only go up every year. And
wasn't Minnesota the team that gave up 50 something to Jason Tatum?
Yes, that was also another.
That's just one of the things. Like the defensive inefficiency, which is one of the reasons why the Thibodeau era didn't work. Like, because they didn't buy in. Like, I don't know if Chris Fitch can do it, but maybe he can get him a little bit closer to the edge. You know,
that's the thing is I think the Saunders was just like, hey, we're given this because we liked your dad. Okay, you can't do it. You have no pizzazz. Your players don't play for you. You have no style. Your team has no definition. This is the guy we want. Let's put this season together as our preseason for next year. So I expect to see Minnesota on this list next year again, but I do expect to see some improvement.
Right. And in terms of player movement, the reason why we didn't really dive too deep into it is because we just don't see a lot of it other than maybe like getting rid of Rubio, letting Ed Davis go, and then trying to find a point guard in the draft that can be dependable.
But those are just minor little pieces. You know, like we said, the whole thing about this team is their core will be together.
I feel like what Minnesota needs, they need a little, like almost like what LaMelo Ball did for Charlotte. They need a little bit of pizzazz.
Well, maybe Edwards brings that. You know, this first year, rookies are mostly clueless and don't know how to play. They just try to use their athleticism.
He's electrifying. Edwards is electrifying.
He's electrifying, and once he knows how to play and play smartly, that might be the spark this team needs.
Oh, Kelly Olynyk wants a foul. What a power dunk by Kelly.
Look at Olynyk with the pump fake and then the strong move and dunks on three guys. That's how you got to go strong in the NBA, and he's looking for a foul. He definitely got hit on the arm. That should have been an and one.
Well, I got to say, Adam, I don't know if we were anticipating a team that started with James Harden on their roster being at the bottom of the barrel, but here are the Houston Rockets. I mean, this thing really just – It kind of went into Nightmare Street pretty early. I would say it was before Harden even demanded his trade, which a lot of people think happened before the season even started. He actually got traded 8 games into the season. Well, Harden played 8 games. It may have been a little later than that, but by January he was out of there. And that's when the rebuilding started. But a lot of people would say that it started when Daryl Morey voluntarily left. And then there was no agreement between the owner and Mike D'Antoni, and he was out the door, and they hired in Steven Silas, who Harden wasn't really too keen on and got no input on. Russell Westbrook gets traded for John Wall. Like it almost feels like all the craziness happened early on for the Rockets, and then it just turned into 4 to 5 months of just decrepitude.
You know, this is the earliest we've ever done these gone fishings. We always wait till the season ends to get them, and I don't think we've ever been like, you know what?
I've never given up on a team faster than I gave up on the Rockets this year.
But this all started with when they hired Paul Silas, and Harden said,
Steven.
No. Steven Silas.
Well, maybe they, I don't know, maybe they should have hired Paul Silas, I don't know. There was a moment there, did you see that clip where Steven Silas is being asked a question in the press conference, and he just looked pained. Like, this was in the middle of the season after all this happened, and he just looked totally overwhelmed, like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into?
Yeah, because that was the, like, have you met Jason? I haven't talked to him yet. Whenever he shows up, I look forward to meeting him. It's like, you know, you're in, you know, training camp mode. Yeah, I haven't met with him yet. He hasn't called me. Oh, this is doomed from the get-go. Because, and then what, all the stories came out of how it was James Harden. Everybody, you know, D'Antoni catered to him completely. And then Maury, yeah, everyone, oh, he's a genius. He can get a second round pick and flip him. And his deals got worse and worse and worse. And then, you know, you sell the farm to bring in Chris Paul. Yeah, it doesn't work. Okay, let's sell the farm to bring in Russell Westbrook. That yeah. doesn't work. And then
you get
it's just
rid of
like,
Capella to get Pete. To, well, who did they bring in to play with Westbrook when they got rid of Capella? They literally went into the playoffs without a center.
Yeah, they did like we can't pay him, so let's just dump him and you know, use PJ Tucker as our big and Jeff Green and Eric Gordon, and just like looking at this roster, and it's just like, how can he be considered like a great GM if that's what you put together? And we could almost say we expected that, you know, you could say that of this is what happens when you give Eric Gordon a ton of money, he's just not going to produce. But you look at this team going forward, you know, it's like, hey, I thought, you know, we made a great trade for James Harden because we got three future firsts and we got all these picks. And
there's a flip side of that, though. They gave up so much to get Russell Westbrook from the Thunder. So what you were just doing was you were stopping the bleeding. You're trying to replace the picks that you already gave
you're
away.
You're trying to spin it with short-term memory. Because don't right. forget, coming in, we got Boogie. He's coming back. And, you know, we have all these players. We're going to try to make one last run. We're going to put it together. We can get Westbrook and Harden on the same page one more time. And then just like you look at this roster now with what they were left with of John right. Wall, who thinks he's an all-star, but he's not anymore, unfortunately. Maybe it could just be a slow year and he needed this year to bounce back, but his efficiency isn't there anymore.
Yeah, this is like Lord of the Rings where this wasn't like the journey. It's not like, oh yeah, we need to just walk into this volcano and drop the ring. No, like this is like three movies in one right here. The whole Rocket scene in terms of their roster turnover. It's unbelievable. I have 30 players that were on roster for the Rockets, both like major and minor on this team in total. Like that is unthinkable. I can't even fit it on my team sheet, which I've never had happen in my life. Like we can get into some bright spots, you know, but like just in general, like they started with Harden, John Wall, Eric Gordon. They bring in, like you mentioned, DeMarcus Cousins and then PJ Tucker. They make this enormous trade with it was like a four-way deal with Cleveland, Brooklyn, and I think Indiana was the other team.
And they get Oladipo, and Oladipo's like, oh, hell no, I want no part of this.
Well, no, what happened was his deal, he was an unrestricted free agent coming up. He was offered an extension. I think the details of the extension were divulged. It was something in the neighborhood of what he was already making, which was like around 20 plus million. And he turned it down. He said no.
He turned it down. He also said, I don't want to play in Houston.
Exactly.
He's like, I don't want to be a part of this team, even with the money. So you have this big, huge thing. And, you know, Christian Wood has been they gave him 39 million.
Yeah, that was the one a lot of teams missed on him. Like he played for Philly, he played for New Orleans, and played for I think Detroit.
Came from Detroit. Everyone's like, how are you giving him that much money? And oh no, he's earning that money, but it's just you have John Wall making 40 million, you have Eric Gordon who's making
17 million.
He's
still in lock. He's still locked in until the 2023 season, which is not guaranteed. And he did his typical when the chips are down, I'm quitting mode, where he all of a sudden had a bone bruise.
But that's that you got two more years of Wall, you have two more years of Eric Gordon, and you have two more years of 33-year-old DJ Augustine. Mm-hmm. How are you going to get better if you have so much? You have $60 million tied between those three players. Those three anchors are just going to bring you down. And, you know, Kevin Porter, they're doing smart things of Kevin Porter. Well, he has character issues.
That's how they got him, is because of the character issues. Cleveland gave up on him.
Cleveland's like, we don't want your bad.
Here's how talented he was. But he got into a situation where he basically, like, he talked his way out of Cleveland.
Like, he threw a tantrum because his locker got moved for somebody else, and they're like, "What the hell? No, you are not worth it." Okay, and you know, Houston. Okay, it's going to be smart. Well, we need to take what we can get. Hopefully, he becomes me, because their only draft pick last year, I'm pretty sure, was Kenyon Martin Jr.,
who KJ was Martin, right?
Wasn't anybody? He wasn't a big.
He's athletic. Like, he does have a bit of bounce to him.
It was a long-term look for him, but everybody else, like, they had this, this is a senior roster, we got everything, and it's just left with, you know, John Wall, who, okay, let's say he is still an all-star in his mind, he's not going to be in two more years. He is in that unfortunate decline mode. Right. You have...
His numbers were terrible. Like, he averaged, like, he only played 40 games, but he averaged 20 points, 7 assists, 2 made threes, got to the free throw line. Like, he still was a pretty good player.
Yeah, and but his, again, usage rate goes down. Therefore, well, what good is it if you're scoring 30 points if it takes you 20 shots to get to it? You have, you know, Dante Exum, who just career yeah, is just he didn't murdered show up. By
Kelly
injuries.
Olynyk came in and played pretty well. Now he's an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, he's playing for a contract. And
right, right.
Just, it was one of those things, like, you got Oladipo, you could have... Pieces could have moved around. You could have gotten, you know, Caris LeVert, who might have been, well, he's a young guy, he's gonna get better. He's not. Nope. You took Oladipo, and then you had to sell him for a nickel on the dollar. Mm-hmm. And they have, like, do you see any hope for this team?
Well, Porter Jr. was a steal, like we were just talking about, but it's part of the Kevin Porter Jr. experience that we have all suddenly gotten used to already. Like, he got punished, I think, for, like, going to the strip club, and he got mad, and guess what he did? He scored 50 points. he might just be one of those, like, players, Adam, where it's like, when everyone's rooting against him, that's when he plays at his best. But, like, you know, that's sort of like the newer generation, where, like, they can heat up really, really fast and cool down really, really quickly. Like, 1 to 2, like, awesome games doesn't mean you're a good player. But you do like some of the things you saw out of Kevin Porter Jr., like 15 points, 6 assists, gets to the free throw line. Jayshon Tate was a revelation, even though he got a lot of those minutes because there were tons of available minutes because they were so bad. You know, Daniel House, give up on him. Done. Got to get rid of Eric Gordon somehow, is my opinion. That's
how,
the big part.
How, with all those years left, you
can't... I think there's enough teams out there that can talk themselves into thinking that Gordon can be, like, a helper. And $17 million is not, like, a bank breaker. $40-plus million for John Wall is a bank breaker. I don't think
that's a bank breaker, but $17 million for a role player on a... I can only assume year's cap is going to shrink.
We just saw... I mean, look at the San Antonio Spurs. You're seeing guys that are going to get paid that are, like, in the teens that I don't even know they're worth it, you know?
But the thing is, just Eric Gordon, he's not getting younger. He's already, you know, 33 and 32. And you got 3 more years, so you got a 35-year-old Eric Gordon still chugging out there for $20
million. Yeah.
That's a complete – you have no – no backups, no depth. You have nothing, no draft prospects. No, all you have is just your legacy of the Rio Grande Vipers, who are the G League elite.
Mm-hmm.
Not the elite team, but
I just want to put too much on Steven Seid. Like, oh, I wish he'd have coached this. He would have done this. Like, I don't think he was in a no-win situation. Like,
he was in a no-win situation.
He took the job, but he was in a no-win situation.
And he won't – I don't want to say it because you don't actively root for people to fail, but I don't see him making it 2 more years coaching on this team.
Oh, he might. I wouldn't be shocked if he was gone, like, early into the next season.
I think they're going to give him 1 more year. That's why I'm just being sort of generous, because mm-hmm. I don't think that, you know, you want to get to the start of the situation where we're paying 2 coaches to do anything. But, you know, you came in, you knew he was going to have a new system. You knew his new system isn't meshing with Harden, and it was going to be conflicts to begin with. But I don't see he's going to get his guys to create an identity to, I think, you know, ownership is fine with losing for now.
Yeah.
You know, because they know there's no hope.
They need to have the patience now that they've unloaded Harden, because now they're going to wait on the draft picks. The problem is, like, How high are the draft picks?
How high are the draft picks? And if you have all these other bad teams like Orlando and Houston and, you know, teams that are just blowing themselves up, your competition in the basement isn't what it used to be. It wasn't, okay, we could just be that one tanking team. Now you have just teams that live down there, like Minnesota every year.
There are teams like, what do you, like... You just gave me this feeling of like people just staring at him when they're trying to go down the stairs. Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, this is their first year here. It's like, why are you here? So it's like, oh no, you guys are going to be here for a while. You don't have anything to look forward to.
A couple of minor things that we'll mention, then we'll wrap up. Avery Bradley has a $6 million team option. Would they pick it up? Or I think if you were them, would you pick it up?
If I were them, I probably would. But if I were him, I'd say, please don't.
If you can get Kelly Olynyk for less than $15 million a year, would you do it?
I think he will warrant more from them and the open market due to his, you know, stretch five ability that he's cashed in on thus far and still very useful and active. It's just, I don't, you know, the, what, 3 years, $45 million, 3 years, $50 million. I think there'll be a lot of teams looking for him as well.
Will Kevin Porter Jr. be a starter by the time we get to the start of the next season? That's under the assumption that either Wall or Gordon will either be de-emphasized or moved.
Gordon isn't anything. No, I don't think Porter will be, because I think Eric Gordon will be there, because you can't just have him coming off the bench and being ineffective from there. So I don't expect him to add anybody who will replace him. It's just going to be, he'll be that, you know, that flash, and hopefully maybe the one solace of hope will be that coaching.
Maybe the first round pick out of it, maybe?
No, maybe Steven Silas can speak to him and be like, this is my guy. I can build him up and I could create something to, other than be that, oh yeah, he's just that young knucklehead player who, you know, like a Ricky Davis who just, oh, he won't get it. He's gone. And then you thought maybe the one time, okay, he got sent to the G League. He was in the bubble. He rocked it there. Maybe you get it now. Oh no, you're just gonna be this young knucklehead kid. And until he decides he doesn't want to be that, he is his own, you know, friend or enemy.
And then to finish up, out of all the needs that they have, which is, I mean, it's magnanimous. What is the one need that they have?
They just need to somehow get themselves out of John Wall.
Okay.
You can't rebuild.
Not even aiming for a position in free agency or the draft if they can move up.
You can't do anything if one player is taking up a third of your cap who is no longer going to bring you anywhere.